Become our friend on Facebook. Post on our wall your thoughts about our shows and network. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Welcome to Cool Kids Cook with Kid Chef Eliana. Get ready to explore the foodie world with one of the youngest published cookbook authors. We'll share tips, techniques, recipes, and speak to some of the world's top chefs. Now, here is your host, Chef Eliana.
Welcome to the program, Cool Kids Cook, on the Voice America Kids Network. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, a cookbook author, foodie, and your show host. Here's what's happening with me. I have a game on my Facebook page called Figure Out This Food. I post a close-up of a food item, and the first three guesses get a shout-out here. So congratulations to Debbie Gajewski, Joyce Gilliatt, Mel Davenport for guessing pineapple. Congratulations to Patricia Mira, who is the winner of the giveaway for the Easy Meals to Cook for Kids by Miss Julie Negrin, my show guest last week from Kids Cook Monday. Miss Patricia says it's always fun to cook with your grandkids, teaching them how to cook. Yay, Miss Patricia! As you know, the Super Bowl was in New Orleans this past Saturday. I attended the Taste of the NFL. I'll tell you more about it later. Well, let me tell you how excited I am to celebrate Mardi Gras. It's time for our interview with my friend and New Orleans own celebrity chef, John Besh, who is generously giving us his time during his busy TV filming schedule. Chef John Besh is a native son dedicated to the culinary riches of southern Louisiana. In his restaurants, entrepreneurial pursuits, and public activities, he preserves and promotes ingredients, techniques, and heritage one mouth-watering dish at a time. Chef John grew up in southern Louisiana and has set the benchmark for fine dining in New Orleans, a town whose identity is bound to its food. Each of his 9 acclaimed restaurants, August, Best Steak, Luke San Antonio, La Province, American Sector, Soda Shop, Dominica, and Born, celebrates the bounty and traditions of the region. Chef Don, thanks so much for being a guest on Cool Kids Cook.
Well, thank you so much for having me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's such a pleasure to have you. Now, you are a restaurant chef, and yet you're always encouraging people to cook at home and sit at the family table to share a meal. Why are you so passionate about that?
Well, it does seem a little counterintuitive, doesn't it? But I do want you to support your local chefs. However, it's even more important that families learn to sit together and not just cook together, but sit together and eat and enjoy meals together, because it's really the cornerstone of our entire society. So we learn so much at the family table. We learn all about not only food, but we discuss what, you know, we learn about communicating with people. We learn about manners. We learn about all sorts of things that will touch our daily lives, stem from that family table. And without that experience, then we're kind of left in shambles, where we're not always eating right. We don't slow down and turn all the electronics off and communicate properly. And finding the time to do such things, I think, pays huge dividends for all of us.
Right. You know, when you're at the table, you communicate, you talk about your day, what happened, events that happened. You learn at the table.
Right. And this is all really good stuff that we can't lose. We just can't afford to lose it. Not only that, but we learn about our cultures. We learn about our religions, where our families come from. We talk about these things, and these things are shared. And that's what really makes life so rich and wonderful, when you have depth and you have a great understanding of who you are and where you come from and why do we eat certain things. And so, for instance, my little boys are growing up on a beautiful bayou in South Louisiana, about 35 minutes outside of New Orleans. And so I want them to understand who they are by the foods that they eat. And so on Mondays, guess what we eat?
What is that?
Red beans and rice. You've got to do that every Monday. And so then we eat crawfish, and we eat lots of shrimp. It could be shrimp etouffee, and it could be just a lot of these dishes like gumbos and jambalayas and food that tells them who they are and where they come from. Food that tells a story. And so our family table is as much about learning about ourselves as it is about learning of the food as well. And so there's so much depth there, and there's so much fun by just interacting with each other. Never mind the cooking. The cooking is secondary. Having a chance to break bread at the table is, I think, the primary goal of my kind of preaching to everybody of the great things that emanate from the family table.
Right, and, you know, my family, we eat together all the time. We're always at the family table and have huge, like, just family gatherings. We're always together. Now, you have 140 recipes in your latest cookbook, Wow, My Family Table, A Passionate Plea for Home Cooking. How did that book come about?
Well, the book came about because one day I made the mistake of questioning what my wife Jennifer was feeding the boys. And Jennifer then turned it on me and said, John Besh, if you cared half as much about what the boys and I were eating on a daily basis as you do all the highfalutin customers that come to the restaurants, then we would all be much better off. And it really made me think about what am I going to do and how will I change my ways to make time for our family table. So I started with a list of recipes of, you know, this is how we cook. This is how I cook at home. And this is a recipe, if you will, for people to cook at home like a chef very easily and efficiently. And so that's why I have guides in there for, you know, if you're buying a chicken, then you can roast the chicken and then you have one meal where you can feed the entire family this roast chicken. Then the next day you can have all those, you take all the chicken bones and you turn it into a beautiful chicken broth, and that's the base for a soup, which is another meal. So one chicken equals two meals for an entire family. And so this is the way that chefs work, and this is the way we cook in our restaurants. And I just wanted to share some of these tidbits and anecdotes and recipes with people so that they're able to get the most out of what it is that they're trying to do, and that's cook and eat as a family.
Right, and, you know, you're passing a legacy to your boys. You're teaching them.
That's right. And that's my number one job in this world, is to raise those boys. And so by cooking and passing on some, not just great recipes, but great life lessons along the way, this is a way that I can nourish them with other things other than just food, but everything else that comes from the family dining experience.
Right, you know, and I collect my family recipes, too. I collect my Nana's recipes and, you know, all of my recipes. I always share them on my radio show and my abuela. So, you know, I have tons of family recipes and, you know, my mom.
That's so much fun, isn't it? Sharing
it
recipes.
It is. It's a lot of fun.
And sometimes even making them your own. Do you ever do that? Do you ever take, like, one of your mom's recipes and add an ingredient or two?
I do. And, you know, sometimes I do that. You know, I take the recipe and I, you know, I put my own twist on it. And, you know, it tastes good most of the time.
What's your favorite thing to cook?
My favorite thing? You know, I really like my etouffee. Like you were saying, how you make shrimp etouffee. I really like shrimp etouffee. I actually made that at the Louisiana Seafood Festival.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I made it the day after I was on stage with you. And
I know that day you made a salsa, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, shrimp salsa.
That's right.
Yes, and in my etouffee, I actually put ginger ale. I used sherry in my demo, but instead of the sherry or the wine, I used ginger ale, like in my cookbook, so that, you know, so kids can, you know, the parents don't want them, you know, eating it with that.
Right.
So, substitute. Now, you have four sons, Brendan, Luke, Jack, and Drew. And I know that you hunt and fish with them. I know I fish with my family, too. Do they enjoy cooking what they catch?
Oh, definitely. I think it just makes, it then really connects them with where food comes from. And this is extremely important, not just for my children, but for all my cooks in my restaurants to understand that where their food comes from allows you to cook and allows these boys to really cook and eat in such a way that they respect every morsel of the food. And so you don't, you're a lot less wasteful, and you're also enjoying it because you went through the trouble of catching and scaling and cleaning the fish to cooking it.
Right. And, you know, it's always important to know where your food comes from. You know, if you just get it, like, something frozen or something, you know, that you get out of a jar or a can, you don't really care. Then, you know, if you're making it from scratch and you're picking the vegetables or catching the fish or something, you know where it comes from. And a lot of the times, the kids, they eat it. They think, they're like, oh, this is good because I know what I put in here. But if they get it from jar or can, they don't know what's in it, and they're like, that looks gross. But when they make it and when they get the ingredients, they actually eat it.
Yes, it gives us an appreciation, doesn't it?
Right, and they appreciate it. Break it down and be your Mardi Gras Mambo while we head to a break. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and you're listening to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids.
Kids safe, mother approved. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network wherever you go. In addition to listening live, you can check out information about your favorite talk show hosts, discover new talk show personalities, add shows to your list of favorites, and listen to all our show archives on demand. All from your iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market, and get ready to tune in. The Voice America mobile app, powered by Aircast.
Looking for a great sports show from a kid's point of view? Look no further than Speaking of Sports. We've got the stats, scores, and inside news on what's happening all over the sports world. It's all hard-hitting, can't-miss action from your point of view. You'll hear different perspectives, opinions, and predictions from the fans and experts. Tune in to Speaking of Sports every Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Miss just 1 minute of this show and you've missed out.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, now with 33% more active ingredients and no artificial coloring.
This is Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Be sure to check out Eliana's webpage at kidchefeliana.com or follow her Facebook and Twitter pages by clicking the links on her show page. Now, back to Cool Kids Cook.
Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. I'm Kid Chef Eliana. Let's continue our interview with Chef John Besh. So your restaurants range from the fun and whimsical soda shop at the World War II Museum to the decadent dishes of August. Do your many restaurants reflect your different food personalities or moods?
Absolutely. I would get bored just cooking the same thing all the time. And so I have... we're real people. We crave all sorts of things, and so I wanted to create restaurants that I would love to go to myself, and the things that I crave the most, and that's why we've created these. And it's this great creative outlet to be able to bounce from down home fish camp cookery of Bourne to Italian trattoria food of Dominica, to the refined French, haute cuisine of August. And so fun to do that. And it just creatively speaking, it's just adds to the richness of life, having so much diversity across the company.
Right. And, you know, when I cook, you know, if you're cooking something fancy, you can tell that, they like cooking all these gourmet dishes. And if you If you put your extra time and, like, you add your beautiful garnishes and stuff, you can tell that they work really hard. And, you know, I've actually eaten at American Sector and Soda Shop. Now, at American Sector, when I went, you had the 75-cent meat pies and the chili the wings and the sliders. And you know, all the desserts at the soda shop are just so good. And even you're welcome. Even the like the grilled cheese with the pimento. But you know, my mom, she was saying that one of the desserts. It was like some kind of mousse or something like that. And she said it was so decadent. So I got to eat hers plus mine.
Ah, that's funny.
I was like, I will be happy to eat it. I know that you love your grandma's fried chicken. Was she instrumental in shaping your love of food?
You know, my grandmother was an incredible chef. And just a wonderful, you know, just, you know, I'm talking home cook style. Just so talented. Such a beautiful person. But let me tell you what. Fried chicken? That's all I can say. Unbelievably good. So good that I wanted to offer her recipe or her style of chicken, as well as a really close friend of ours, Miss Ruth, who made an incredible fried chicken. The two fried chicken recipes are so very different. But you know the one day out of the year that we have to eat fried chicken in our house? That's Mardi Gras Day, because that's what we love to bring to the parade route. And so when we go to watch all the parades on Mardi Gras morning, I am frying chicken. We're bringing it out there so we can have our chicken in a little jambalaya, or sometimes we'll do white beans and rice and chicken. Unbelievably good. And it always disappears.
You know, when I make it, we do that too, and it even tastes good cold, and it's like, and it still kind of gets that crunchy skin.
Oh, yeah.
It's delicious.
Sometimes
you know,
it's better when it's cold.
Yeah, and I'm actually looking at the fried chicken recipe in your cookbook right now, and that looks so good. I just want to eat some right now. It looks so crispy.
One recipe has my grandmother's recipe.
That's
where I'll soak it in buttermilk. And then from the buttermilk, it'll marinate. And sometimes what that buttermilk does is the buttermilk will break it down just a little, tenderizing the meat.
Yeah.
And then when you toss it into the flour, the seasoned flour, that's where you get this kind of thick and crispy southern fried kind of crust on it. And I just love it. Whereas the other recipe in the book, you're almost dipping it into a batter the last minute. And so one's really, really light, and the other is really kind of like crunchy and strong.
That side just sounds so good. I make fried chicken, but the way we do it is that you have like just the salt and pepper, while we just use my Creole seasoning, and we mix that in with the flour, and we put it in the buttermilk, and then we dredge it in flour. We double dip, put it back in the buttermilk and flour again, and we put it in the refrigerator for about an hour, and then we fry it.
No way. So you put it back into the fridge.
Yes.
Awesome. That sounds really good. So that's got a really crispy crust on it then, doesn't it?
Yes. Because, you know, we don't really like that, you know, thin skin. We want a really good, thick, crunchy skin.
You know what? I might borrow that idea. I might make that idea my own one day. I'm just warning you.
Okay. Tell me when you make it. Now, can you share with our listeners your funniest or most disastrous food memory?
Disastrous food memory?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that might
have
been.
Well, usually disastrous means funny.
That is, almost too many to mention. There's always been some little, there's a funny moment around every corner when you cook as much as I do. And so when I think about this, I'm really thinking about some of the crazy competitions that I've been on, whether it's Bravo's Top Chef Masters or what have you. But I remember this one episode of Top Chef Masters where all I had to do is cook eggs with one hand tied behind my back. But you can't cook an egg. You've got to go through this rigmarole of making the best egg dish that the world has ever seen with one hand tied behind my back. which gets to be a little difficult at times, especially in a crowded little kitchen. And so I'm doing all this, and somebody turned my oven off after I put my eggs in. I was going to do these little eggs on cocotte, these little, like, sheared eggs in these small little cast iron pots, and serve it with the ragu of asparagus and wild mushrooms. And the whole thing was coming along nicely until it was time for me to plate up. I go to the oven.
Oh, no.
And the oven was cold. It had been turned off. And so then I have these pots of raw eggs, one hand tied behind my back, this ragu of the asparagus and wild mushrooms ready to go. And I'm like, oh, what do I do? And so then with one hand, I'm sticking them on top of the burners and cranking the burners up, hoping to cook them enough. But to no avail, it just didn't work out.
That's why it sounds like sabotage to me.
Well, I didn't want to go there, but I'm thinking it was sabotage too.
You know, yours is opposite of kind of like mine. Yours was uncooked. Now, see, mine was burnt, charred, not like totally opposite.
Beyond recognition?
Yes. Well, we actually saved the... We saved it. Well, you kind of couldn't, but we saved it, and we took... It was... Our version of a beer can chicken, and we used Italian dressing and ginger ale and garlic and all these other spices, and we put it in a empty can, and then we put it inside the chicken cavity, and then we put it over indirect heat on the grill. And I told my mom to watch the chicken while I was parboiling my potatoes so they wouldn't overcook. And what do you know? She burnt it. I smelled something. Well, kind of both of us. And not just it burnt, but it exploded in the grill because she put it on direct heat because she thought it wasn't cooking enough. So it was kind of both of our faults because I'm the one who told her to watch it, and then she's the one who made it explode.
And so...
We fixed it, and we took all the char and burned...
We took all the charred skin off, and it was probably succulent underneath.
We made a salad, yes.
There you go. From disaster comes something spectacular.
Right. Now, lastly, here's our wacky off-the-wall food question I ask all of my show guests. What kind of dish would you create with pickles and peanut butter?
With pickles and peanut butter?
Yes.
Well, that's a wacky question. Pickles and peanut butter.
I would have to go
with a little fried pickle.
Okay.
And a hoisin peanut butter dipping sauce.
That
sounds good.
With a
little ginger. Yeah, this is going to be really good. I can't wait to try it out on the next episode.
That's probably like the fanciest one we've had. Kind of fancy, but not at the same time. You get that fried pickle. Nobody's done a fried pickle yet. Nobody suggested that one. That's different. Some people just say like a sandwich or a wrap or just pickles in the dipped in peanut butter. I've been trying to make a chicken satay with a pickle relish.
Ooh, that sounds good.
That's what I would do. Well, thank you so much, Don, for being a guest of Cool Kids Cook. Now, you've shown us that families cooking together and eating at the family table brings families closer. Chef John has generously donated an autographed copy of his cookbook, My Family Table. For a chance to win, tweet me or comment on my website or Facebook page. If you want to find out more about Chef John Besh, his cookbooks, TV shows, and his restaurants, visit KidChefEliana.com for all the links. Set the Family Table. We'll be right back. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and you're listening to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Tune in every Monday for Purple Songs Can Fly. Our program serves as a musical outlet for children being treated at the Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Centers. These songs are flown all over the world and even into space. Hundreds of songs have been written and recorded and have been part of shuttle missions, airline in-flight playlists, toured with the Rolling Stones, gone undersea and to the top of Mount Everest. Join our hosts for some great music on Purple Songs Can Fly, Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Kids. Looking for a great sports show from a kid's point of view? Look no further than Speaking of Sports. We've got the stats, scores, and inside news on what's happening all over the sports world. It's all hard-hitting, can't-miss action from your point of view. You'll hear different perspectives, opinions, and predictions from the fans and experts. Tune in to Speaking of Sports every Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Miss just 1 minute of this show and you've missed out.
This is Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Be sure to check out Eliana's webpage at kidchefeliana.com or follow her Facebook and Twitter pages by clicking the links on her show page. Now, back to Cool Kids Cook.
Welcome back. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and it's Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Wasn't that just a wonderful interview with Chef John Dash? It's time for a tisket, a tasket, what's inside my basket? Today's secret ingredients are filet and udan. First, let's talk about filet. Filet is the dried and ground leaves of the sassafras tree. The Choctaw Indians were the first to use this spice. The flavor is similar to root beer. It is a key ingredient and thickening agent of gumbo. Filet is usually added when the dish is finished cooking. After the dish has been taken off of the heat, but still hot, it becomes stringy. The Choctaw Indians would take the sassafras leaves and spread them out on a stone mortar to dry out. After they are dried, they pound the leaves into a fine powder, pass them through a sieve, and bring the filet to New Orleans to sell. Filet gumbo is mentioned in the classic country song Jambalaya by Hank Williams Sr. Jambalaya, crawfish pie, filet gumbo. Here is my recipe for filet gumbo. Ingredients: 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 4 boneless skinless chicken breasts cubed, 1/2 a teaspoon of salt, 1/4 of a teaspoon of black pepper, 1 teaspoon of Creole seasoning or to taste, 1 pound of andouille or smoked sausage cut into 1/2-inch rounds, 1/4 of a cup of roux, which is equal parts of oil and flour cooked over medium heat until medium brown, 2 cups of Trinity, a chopped mixture of 2 medium onions, 1 bell pepper, and 2 stalks of celery, 2 tablespoons of garlic mince, 6 cups of chicken stock, 2 bay leaves, 1/2 a teaspoon of ground thyme, and 4 to 6 servings of rice cooked according to package directions. And don't forget the filet. In a medium-sized skillet, brown the chicken in olive oil with salt, pepper, and Creole seasoning. Add the sausage and brown. Set it aside. In a large pot over a medium heat, heat the roux. Add the Trinity and garlic and stir constantly for about 4 minutes. Add the chicken, bay leaves, thyme, chicken, the chicken stock, bay leaves, thyme, chicken, and sausage, and bring it to the pot and bring it to a boil. Cover and cook over medium-low heat for 1 hour. Skim the fat. Add a sprinkling of filet over the top and stir in. So serve over a cup of rice. Hey, Kid Foodies, I'd love to hear from you. Tweet me, I'm at Kid Chef Eliana. Send your questions and ideas and we'll connect. I'm also Eliana Cook's fan page on Facebook. On Instagram and Pinterest, I'm Kid Chef Eliana. So, you know where to find me. Now, let's explore boudin. Boudin is a delicious Cajun sausage, typically stuffed with a pork rice dressing inside a pork casing. Boudin blanc, blanc means white, is the kind you usually come across in South Louisiana, but there are many variations. Boudin noir, noir means night, is made with a dark-hued blood, while boudin rouge, means red, has pork blood added. Boudin is also stuffed with different types of meats and seafood, including alligator, turtle, shrimp, and crawfish. Boudin is typically simmered or braised, but it can also be sautéed, smoked, and grilled. Boudin balls are made of boudin rolled into balls, coated with breadcrumbs, and then deep-fried. but I actually have a baked version of boudin balls in my new cookbook, Cool Kids Cook Louisiana. Here's the recipe for boudin stuffed chicken. I made this probably a couple weeks ago, and it was just delicious. It had boudin inside of the chicken, so two different types of meat. Ingredients: 3 large boneless skinless chicken breasts filleted, 2 boudin sausages, filling removed from casing, 2 tablespoons of Creole seasoning, and olive oil spray. Directions: preheat your oven to 400 degrees. Stuff the chicken breast with the boudin filling. Rub both sides of the chicken with Creole seasoning. Line the baking sheet with aluminum foil and spread the sheet and top off the chicken with olive oil spray. Bake for 30 to 40 minutes until the chicken is cooked through. You can find all of these recipes on my website, kidschefeliana.com. If you have a secret ingredient you'd like me to talk about, you can email me at eliana@kidschefeliana.com or call my U.S. toll-free number, 888-721-5915. Leave me your first name, where you're calling from, and your question. Maybe your suggestion will air on a future episode. You're listening to Cool Kids Cook on the Voice America Kids Network. This is Kid Chef Eliana, and it's time for Kitchen Tips and Tools. Today's main kitchen tips are all about seasoning blends. Let's talk about making your own seasoning blends. You want to have a variety of spice blends. They always taste better when they're homemade, too. I'll be giving you recipes for different seasoning blends in future shows. Here is my personal recipe for Creole seasoning. Ingredients: 2 tablespoons of salt, 2 tablespoons of onion powder, 2 tablespoons of garlic powder, 2 tablespoons of dried oregano leaves, 2 tablespoons of dried sweet basil, 1 tablespoon of dried thyme leaves, 1 tablespoon of black pepper, 1 tablespoon of white pepper, 1 tablespoon of cayenne pepper, 1 tablespoon of celery seed, and 5 tablespoons of sweet paprika. Directions: mix all the ingredients thoroughly in a bowl. Store them in a spice bottle or a jar. Today's kitchen tool is a casserole dish. The word casserole comes from the French word for saucepan. It is a large, deep dish that is square, rectangular, or oval in shape, and it is used to cook items in the oven. It is also used as a serving container. The cooking technique used with a casserole dish is often called a bake. A type of casserole dish was even found in ancient Greece, but it was in 1866 in Berlin, New Hampshire, that Elmer Jolicoeur, who was a French-Canadian immigrant, invented the grandmother of what would become the modern casserole. Casseroles as one-dish meals really became popular in 20th century America. In the 1950s, new forms of lightweight metal and glassware appeared on the market. The casserole was transformed into a sleek, simple cooking vessel that could withstand high oven temperatures. I hope you like my kitchen tips and tools. Here's the recipe for my fruit crumble. This recipe uses a casserole dish. I brought it to a meeting for the Women's National Book Association, and they just loved the crumble. Enjoy! Filling ingredients: 1 pound of strawberries, quartered, 1/2 a pound of peaches, peeled and diced, 1/2 a pound of dried apricots, sliced, 4 tablespoons of lemon juice, 3 tablespoons of flour, and 1 cup of light brown sugar. Crumble topping ingredients: 2 cups of almonds or pecans, chopped, 1 1/2 cups of flour, 3/4 a cup of light brown sugar, and 5 tablespoons of melted butter. Directions for filling: preheat your oven to 350 degrees. In a large bowl, mix together lemon juice, flour, and brown sugar. Gently mix in the fruit until coated. Pour the filling into a large casserole dish and spread evenly. Directions for crumble topping: mix all the ingredients together. Crumble over the filling evenly. Place the crumble in the oven for 45 minutes. Set it with a dollop of whipped cream. There's many. Oh, I'm just so mumble-jumble today. So, as you know, earlier in the show that I said I was at Taste of the NFL this past Saturday, and I just had a phenomenal time. I got to meet, in person, I got to meet Andrew Zimmern, Miss America, Gail King, who's Oprah's best friend. I met Andrew Zimmern, introduced me to Lorena Garcia. She is the chef for the Taco Bell commercials. And I got to meet, like, most of the chefs from the cooking stations for the NFL cities. And there were just so many stations. They had, like, there's 32 NFL cities. So there was over 32 because the hometown that's hosting the Super Bowl gets to have chefs from that hometown also. So they had a whole Louisiana section in the back of the convention center where it was located. And it's just this humongous room. And all the stations had like a TV on, like, above their station, and it said who the chefs were, and it said what foods they were serving, and it also had the player that was there, the alumni or current NFL player from that city and that team. And the stations all had their own napkins too. Well, grab your mask and get ready for a Mardi Gras masquerade while we head to a short break. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and you're listening to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids.
We didn't invent Kid Talk, we perfected it, and at a very young age. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Has your role model let you down? Every day it seems we turn on the news or read online that today's entertainment and sports stars have gotten out of hand again. Drugs, theft, drunk driving, and other actions of disorderly conduct are what some so-called role models are all about. Not here. Tune in to Runway Role Models and find out about some positive people who are making a difference now and paving the way for the future generation. Our generation. Tune in to Runway Role Models every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. Have you heard your 15 minutes of fame? How about four times that every single week? It's the Fame Game. Listen as Maddie Rose, who is up and coming in the world of fame, brings you fame from all walks of life. You'll hear from doctors, teachers, mentors, life heroes, as well as those in the fields of acting, movies, music, and more. Who knows? You might be the next one Maddie Rose talks to on the air. Listen for the Fame Game every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids Channel.
The longer you listen, the later it gets. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
This is Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. Be sure to check out Eliana's webpage at kidchefeliana.com or follow her Facebook and Twitter pages by clicking the links on her show page. Now, back to Cool Kids Cook.
Welcome back to Cool Kids Cook on Voice America Kids. I'm Kid Chef Eliana, and it's time for Spice Detective. Today, we're investigating sugar. The word sugar originated from the Sanskrit word sharkara, which means material in a granule form. Sugar is one of the oldest ingredients, dating back to 326 BC. In 327 BC, Alexander the Great discovered the sugar cane. It spread through Persia and into the Mediterranean. Sugar was known as white gold. It was once a luxury reserved only for European nobility. Christopher Columbus introduced sugar to the New World in 1493 on his second voyage. Believe it or not, in 2001, scientists even found sugar in outer space. Far out, dude. Sugar is an important component for breads or donuts. When combined with yeast, it helps baked goods rise in the oven. Sugarcane stalks can reach 30 feet high. Want to preserve your cut flowers? add sugar to the water. Here is a recipe for Mardi Gras King Cake, a carnival tradition. Mardi Gras season begins on January 6th, the 12th day of Christmas. The king cake colors honor the three kings, and it's topped with sugar in the traditional colors of purple, green, and gold, meaning justice, faith, and power. Ingredients. 1 packet of active dry yeast, 1/4 of a cup of warm water, 2 tablespoons of milk, scalded and cooled, 4.5 cups of flour, 2 sticks of butter, softened, and 2 teaspoons of butter, melted, 3/4 a cup of sugar, 1/4 of a teaspoon of salt, 4 eggs, 2 teaspoons of melted butter, 1/2 a cup of light corn syrup for topping, and 2 tablespoons each of purple, green, and yellow colored sugar. Directions. Dissolve the yeast in 105-degree warm water and add the scalded milk and 1/2 a cup of flour. In a large bowl, blend butter, sugar, salt, and eggs. Add the yeast and mixture and combine thoroughly. Gradually add 2.5 cups of flour to make a medium-sized dough. Place it in a greased bowl and brush with the melted butter. Cover with a damp cloth and let it rise until doubled in volume, about 3 hours. Scatter 1 cup of flour on a surface to knead the dough. Roll it into a 4-foot-long rope. Form it into an oval on a large greased baking sheet, pinching the ends of the rope together. Cover the dough with a damp cloth and let it rise until doubled in volume, about 1 hour. Bake at 325 degrees for 35 to 45 minutes, or until lightly browned. When the cake is cool, brush the top of the corn syrup and sprinkle with purple, green, and yellow-colored sugar, alternating colors around the cake. Serves 8 to 10. And make sure you don't refrigerate your dough, because I did that once, and I won't do it again. Never put cold dough in the oven. It won't cook the inside, or your dough will just get hard. It's snacktivity time. Here, I give you fun, easy, breezy snack ideas. Today's snacktivity is pancake taco with strawberry hearts. Valentine's Day is coming up, and this is a great sweetheart of a snack or breakfast. Ingredients. 2 pancakes, 1/2 a cup of cream cheese softened, 3 tablespoons of strawberry jam divided, and 1/2 a cup of strawberry pads. Directions. Heat up 2 frozen pancakes, and pancakes are great to make from scratch and then freeze them for a fast breakfast or snack like this. In a small bowl, mix cream cheese and 2 tablespoons of strawberry jam. Spread the pink mixture onto the pancakes, being generous with the strawberry cream. Stuff with strawberry hats. Close the taco. Heat 1 tablespoon of strawberry jam until it melts. Drizzle the jam over tacos. Hey, young chef, you're listening to the Voice America Kids Network. This is Kid Chef Eliana, and it's time for Creative Cuisine. This is my recipe for jambalaya. I made it the other day with spicy andouille sausage, and my dad loved it. I also made it on the Wendy Williams Show last September. Ingredients. 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 1 cup of Trinity, a chopped mixture of 2 medium onions, 1 medium bell pepper, and 2 stalks of celery, 1 tablespoon of garlic mist, 1 pound of andouille or smoked sausage cut into half-inch rounds, 1 15-ounce can of diced tomatoes, 1/2 a teaspoon of salt, 1/4 of a teaspoon of hot sauce, 1 cup of water, and 1 cup of uncooked rice. Directions. In a large skillet, heat the oil over medium heat. Add the Trinity, garlic, and sausage, and cook until the sausage is brown. Add the remaining ingredients and bring it to a boil. Reduce the heat to low. Cover and simmer for 30 minutes, or until the liquid is absorbed by the rice. Serves 4. Here's another creative cuisine idea. Here is a recipe for party gras peppers and sausage. I made this recipe last night, and my dad and I brought it for lunch. It was delicious. Ingredients. 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1/2 of a red onion chopped, 1 tablespoon of garlic minced, 1 pound of Italian sausage cut into 1-inch rounds, 1/4 of a cup of red cabbage, 1/4 of a red cabbage julienned, a fourth of a cup of chicken stock, 1 tablespoon of balsamic vinegar, salt to taste, 1 tablespoon of Creole seasoning, 1 green bell pepper, julienned, and 1 yellow bell pepper, julienned. Directions. In a large pan, heat the olive oil and saute the onion until translucent. Add garlic and Italian sausage. Stir in the cabbage, chicken stock, and balsamic vinegar. Sprinkle with salt and Creole seasoning. Cook for 5 more minutes and let the cabbage wilt. Saute the bell peppers, but make sure they still have a little crunch. About 5 minutes. Hey, young chef, it's time for cooking crafts. Here is a fun kitchen-related craft. Today's cooking craft is how to make a paper plate Mardi Gras mask. Supplies. 1 paper plate, 2 craft sticks, feathers or fuzzy sticks, school glue, hot glue, and glitter. Step 1. Fold the paper plate in half. Step 2. Draw 1 half of a mask in the middle of the paper plate from the fold to the edge of the paper plate. Step 3. Cut eye holes. Step 4. Decorate using school glue, glitter, feathers, and fuzzy sticks. Step 5. Hot glue 2 craft sticks together to create a long handle for the mask. Step 6. Hot glue the handle to 1 side of the mask. Now let the good times roll. The instructions, along with photos, are on my website for this week's episode on KidChefEliana.com. Don't forget to connect with me on Twitter and Facebook. I'm at KidChefEliana on Twitter and Eliana Cooks fan page on Facebook. Be sure to hit that like button. I like you, and I hope you like me too. If you're listening to the show on iTunes, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the show. The more reviews we get, the more young chefs we can reach. So, you know, I am not finished with the taste of the NFL. You know, there's just so much going on. And, you know, as I was saying, they had, like, the each station had a napkin for their, like, it had their logo for that team, and, you know, they had all different kinds of food. You know, they each chef picked which food they wanted to cook. So for Louisiana, there was kind of like a shrimp etouffee and they had like jambalaya, but there was more. Like, that station had more than some of the other stations since we were the hometown. And for the other stations, they had, like, there was just so many foods all kind of blended together. There was a barbecue pork with, like, microgreens. A couple of stations had schnitzel. One of the schnitzels was with a rabbit sausage. Rabbit sausage. A bunch of people kept telling us to go to the station with rabbit sausage. And I said, we were like, okay, well, we must have to go find that station. We were searching everywhere, and finally, towards the back, rabbit sausage. And that was the only other thing that my mom had seconds for. She loved it. You know, at first we were doing splitsies with everything because it's just too much to handle, too much to eat. And this one, she says, get your own plate. And then she got seconds. I said, fine. Well, that's all for this week. And I leave you with this quote from Craig Claiborne. Cooking is at once child's play and adult joy. And cooking done with care is an act of love. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Kid Chef Eliana with Cool Kids Cook. This show is produced by KidStar on Voice America Kids. Bong ha fat choy. Happy Chinese New Year, the year of the snake. Le bon fang le, let the good times roll. And happy Valentine's Day. Bon appetit. I'll see you next
week. It's time to turn off the oven and close the refrigerator for this week. But be sure to join Kid Chef Eliana for another edition of Cool Kids Cook next Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Have a delicious week and keep cooking.
You're listening to Voice America Kids, now with 33% more active ingredients and no artificial coloring.